The deal is finally done. Boston Celtics trading Gordon Hayward for a traded player exception. I'm going to explain everything about this thing on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Billy, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter and the host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. So if you are new, welcome aboard. Really enjoy having you on. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, I'm here to break down everything about the Boston Celtics on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. So subscribe if you would, please. Wait till the end of the show. See if you like it. And then subscribe wherever you get your podcast. All you regular listeners, you're the best. You know I love you for making this show part of your daily routine. So this whole podcast is about the Gordon Hayward sign and trade that was completed on Sunday to the Charlotte Hornets for a traded player exception worth $28.5 million. So segment one, I'll get into what is this exactly? Segment two, how can the Celtics use this? The different ways they can use it. And segment three, some potential names that we're looking at here. And a lot of people on Twitter had a ton of questions about this. So I thought the whole show, just all of the questions that I got there, I'm going to answer here. So you have a real full grasp of what this means for the Celtics, because I think it's important. This is a real important move for Danny Ainge, because this means he got something for Gordon Hayward. This is all of the criticism that he got for losing Hayward for nothing, that goes out the window, or at least is delayed for a little bit, because he didn't get nothing out of this. He got a traded player exception. Again, I'm going to explain all of it, why that's so meaningful for the Celtics. The overreaction after the Indy sign and trade fell apart, I think you can wipe all of that out. For now, at least, because what's better? A tool that you can use to trade for players that you want later, or just taking what Indy offered you and moving on? I think as we start piecing all of this together, you see that the Celtics were looking at Indy and saying, hey, he wants to play for you. Let's do this. And they were saying Miles Turner. And first round pick, which has value, of course, but what's that first round pick going to be? What's the protection on that going to be? The Celtics didn't want Miles Turner. They don't want to be paying a center for $18 million a year for 3 years. They just didn't want that. They didn't like that deal. And when the Hornets came in, it's possible, and maybe we'll find out, it's possible that the Celtics knew what the market really was for Gordon Hayward. It's possible that they knew that if Gordon Hayward wanted to sign somewhere, they could make it a sign and trade and get this trade exception. And to them, that could be more valuable. There's really only one thing that makes me say that this isn't 100% better. It's that Danny Ainge actually has to use it. And I don't think they're going to spend two draft picks. So it was 2 second round picks and Hayward to Charlotte for a protected, basically a fake second round pick. Highly protected, it'll never convey. So I don't think the Celtics give up picks, even second round picks, if they don't intend to use this somehow. But this is the thing. Danny Ainge now has to use it, okay? Because it is possible that it can expire without using it. So Danny Ainge did get something in exchange for Gordon Hayward. Essentially, he got something that allowed him to get the players in exchange later on. So before I break all of that down, I just want to say that all of the reactions to the Indy stuff were overblown and were foolish and were overreactions. That people really, really love to jump up and down and scream without the entire picture. It's like being pissed off at a movie, you know, half an hour into it and not sticking around for the end to see if things get resolved. Like, you have to see the whole thing through. And now we're seeing the whole thing through. So Danny Ainge did get something for Gordon Hayward. What did he get? What is a traded player exception? A lot of people were asking me. Maybe people didn't listen to when I explained it in the past. Now I've got your attention again because Gordon Hayward is gone, and this is how it resolved itself. So let's dive into all of the nitty-gritty. What is the traded player exception? Traded player exception is essentially, I've been calling it like a coupon, all right? When a team trades a player to another team and that team can accept that player into cap space or into their own traded player exception, basically into their onto their team without giving anything up, okay? That creates a traded player exception for the team that was trading the guy. So a team with cap space, like the Charlotte Hornets, or a team with another traded player exception can take a player in without having to match the salary. All right. If you can absorb that contract, then you don't have to match salary. But technically, salaries do have to match. And so the mechanism that allows for that is a traded player exception. So it's the amount of the first year of that player's contract. So the first year of Gordon Hayward's contract is $28.5 million. So the Boston Celtics essentially got a coupon for $28.5 million that they can use in a trade or multiple trades. It's basically, here you go. Whenever you need to match salaries with another team for a traded player, you have this coupon. You don't have to send out a player. You have to send out something, so you send out picks, you know, but you don't have to send out a player. You don't have to match the salary. You have a coupon here. This, oh yeah, here you go. I've got a coupon for this. And that coupon can be split, but you can't combine it. The fine print on the bottom of the coupon says cannot be combined with other assets. Okay? So $28.5 million coupon from Danny Ainge. When it comes time to match salaries, he's got it. Now, they've got a $5 million coupon from the Enes Kanter trade and a $2.5 million coupon from the Vincent Poirier trade. You cannot combine your coupons to get a bigger discount. Going to the supermarket, you can't combine your coupons. You got one coupon, okay? So the Celtics can trade for one guy that makes $18.5 million. And then a second guy who makes $10 million, for example. And they could trade for one guy tomorrow and the next guy in July. It doesn't have to happen right away. They don't have to. And if they trade for a $20 million guy and then there's a $5 million guy, they can use the $5 million coupon, the traded player exception, from the Enes Kanter trade. They have other options here. So There are multiple tools that the Celtics have. But that's what a traded player exception is. You have this tool. Now Danny Ainge, instead of trading Gordon Hayward to Indy and getting just whatever players are on their roster, he now has basically 29 other teams that he can talk to. If they're looking to move somebody, he has the potential now to trade for one of those players. He also, by the way, it works on the on a waiver too. If somebody gets waived, you can claim a guy off the waiver using this. It's a little side note. It's, you know, whenever a guy gets bought out, you know, when the buyouts happen at the end of the season or after the trade deadline, guy gets bought out and waived. The Celtics, instead of that guy being waived and signing with whatever team he wants, the Celtics can theoretically use one of these trade exceptions, take that player's salary, and just acquire him. Whatever that salary is, just acquire it. That technically counts as a trade. So that's a way that they can use it. They cannot use it to sign a free agent. However, they can negotiate a sign and trade with the other player. So if with the other team. So a free agent next July, if they have all or some of this, and a free agent wants to sign with Boston, the Celtics say, hey, we can pay you up to $28.5 million a year. You go to the other team, that team's original team, they say, hey, we're going to negotiate a sign and trade. We'll send you a pick, you know, a protected second round pick or whatever. We'll send you a second round pick, whatever. We're gonna get this guy. And then that team gets a trade exception out of it. They'll totally do it because they get something for nothing. You know, they basically get this tool that they can use. So that's a way that it can be used. So that is what a traded player exception is. Another question I got. Can players get sent out to aggregate? So you've got $28.5 million here. The player you want is making $40 million. Can you take $28.5 plus $12 in salary and say, here you go, here's $40 million? No, you cannot. Players can be sent out to a team, but not as part of aggregation. If the Celtics want to trade for a player from another team, and that team says, hey, what about Carson Edwards? What about whatever other player? The Celtics can send those players out, but that's not part of the trade aggregation. That is a separate deal. That talent-wise, you might need that to make that work, but they cannot use that to combine with the traded player exception. The traded player exception is what it is. You cannot add anything to it to make it more valuable. It is what it is. $28.5 million, plus you do get an extra $100,000. You know, like there's a little tiny, tiny bit of wiggle room, but it's basically exact. That's all you really need to know. It's basically exact, and you can't add players or other things to it. So players cannot be sent out. They're not part of salary matching. Any player that the Celtics get using the traded player exception is only, that's the only thing you get, right? Deal? Got that? Finally, before I go into the next segment, when does it expire? Usually, it's 1 year after the date, but the Celtics are not going to carry this into next season. This is a weird year, right? So the trade is official on November 29th. Next season, why we're starting and slamming into this next season this week is because they want to start the following season at a fairly normal time, which means they will have started the following season. This basically, you have a year to do it. You have a year to use this. But under this circumstance, with this particular year, it's probably going to expire before some point before the end of the next offseason. So the Celtics will have all year, all this current season, and they'll bring it into July or August, whenever that is, because the finals will be played in July. So at some point in August, maybe September, you would expect it to expire. But at that point, the Celtics will have gotten everything they got out of it. But when it expires. If you use none of it, it's gone. If you use some of it, the rest of it is gone. Doesn't matter. If the Celtics traded for a guy for $12 million and there's another $16.5 million sitting there and they can't find anybody to use it on, then they're going to lose it. So there is a clock ticking on Danny Ainge. So That's why I said before, while he did get something in exchange for Gordon Hayward, he basically just got that tool. He got that coupon. Coupons don't play basketball, okay? Exceptions don't play basketball. So he still has to use it. So that's the catch. That's the only catch here, okay? So now that we've got that settled, I can move on to segment two. How can they use it? What are the different ways that they can use this? That's coming up next. Now, you're going to get something for your money at BuiltBar.com right now because their big Cyber Monday sale is going on. 25% off everything, a free advent calendar with purchase, two free candy cane brownie bars with every item purchased, plus a limited release two white chocolate bars, white chocolate coconut deluxe, white chocolate cherry sundae. You got to get there fast because there are other white chocolates, the cookies and cream and sea salt caramel, both sold out. These are just like every other Built Bar. Low calorie, high protein, not a lot of sugar. You're getting great stuff in a protein bar that is absolutely delicious that you know is going to work for you, whether you're using it post-workout, whether you're using it as a meal replacement, maybe you're just having it as a snack. You know that you're going to get something good with BuiltBar.com. I buy them now with my own money. That first little batch that I got for free to try them out, that was great. But now when I want more, I go buy more. And I've been doing that. And I've been using the promo code LOCKED to get a big discount. So you go to BuiltBar.com right now. You're going to get Cyber Monday deals, 25% off everything. Plus you use the promo code LOCKED. And you're going to get an additional discount on top of that, plus a free advent calendar and two free candy cane brownie Built Bars with every item purchased. You cannot lose on this deal. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. And this week is media week for the Boston Celtics. They're getting back to it. Basketball is coming back. Workouts begin this week. So we're going to hear from Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, all of the players, Jason Tatum with the new big extension, Jaylen Brown, who just starts his first year of his extension. It's going to be a lot. We're diving right back into the season. So all this week, starting on Wednesday, because the media week starts on Tuesday, starting on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're going to be hearing these interviews all week long. So make sure you're sticking around with the Locked On Celtics podcast for all of media week right here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Let's go back to the traded player exception. I explained to you what it is. Now, some other questions that people asked me. Why would Charlotte do this? Why? Well, because the Celtics are giving up a couple of picks. They could have just signed Hayward outright. Sure. But would they get the two picks? No. And when somebody wants to give you draft picks for something you're just going to do on your own, well, why not? I mean, unless, like last year, the Brooklyn Nets didn't want to help the Celtics out because you're in the same division. The Philadelphia 76ers didn't want to help the Celtics out because you're in the same division. You're directly competing with one another. So those teams weren't really keen on any sort of sign and trade situation. But Charlotte, still in the East, but in a different realm, they say, yeah, you know, we'll help you out. Because down the road, when you need help, when the Hornets need help, they say, hey, you know, well, let's work something out. In fact, the Celtics helped them out last year by getting them Terry Rozier. They wanted Terry Rozier. They didn't lose Kemba Walker for nothing. They got something in exchange, and that was a helpful move. It helped both teams. It worked out. Now they're doing business again. Once a team works out some business with another team, then that tends to grease the wheels for future business to be done. So Charlotte gets something out of this. You know, they get their couple of picks. Now what do those picks become? Now you're over the cap. So those picks can become cheap players that maybe can be helpful. They could be used in a trade. So there's value to those picks. The Celtics, by the way, gave up their own second rounders in 2023-24. They got back a fake second rounder, basically top 55 protected. It's that will almost never convey. So that's why and how. So how can the Celtics use this? How can they make this work? What are they getting in exchange? Well, again, it's a $28.5 million coupon, the traded player exception. You can trade for one guy. You can scan the NBA payrolls. They could use this for one guy, except we have to watch what the rest of these moves are. One, they're going to sign Tristan Thompson soon, and that's going to be a full mid-level, like two-year, $18.5 million contract. That's the full mid-level contract. So that's going to be just about $9.5 million or so, somewhere in that range. Once that happens, once you give up your full mid-level, you become hard-capped. And the hard cap for this year is at about $139 million, just under $139 million. So no matter what, the Celtics cannot go over $139 million in their payroll at any time. They cannot exceed that. It's possible here, and I got to do the math, when it's all said and done, that once you sign Tristan Thompson, you don't have $28.5 million to use under your cap. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't trade away Semi Ojeleye or Carson Edwards and, you know, find a team with a little bit of cap space and help out that way, get helped out that way. They can find a way to do that and clear a little bit more room if they need to, if they want to. So that's kind of like a thing to watch for. If all of a sudden the Celtics trade away Carson Edwards, trade away Semi Ojeleye, trade away, you know, Jeff Teague, one of those guys, Daniel Tice, if they trade away one of these guys, if you see a move that says the Boston Celtics traded one of these guys into somebody else's cap space for nothing, well, that's the sign that they've got something big planned for their full traded player exception, because that's how they clear the space to bring that player in and not be over the hard cap. There's a way to do it. It may be more likely that the Celtics use this to acquire a couple of players, two or three. It may be more likely that they acquire one player this year to help off of the bench or become a starter. Who knows? And then the rest of that traded player exception can be used in July for another player. And you get a second player in for that kind of money. You know, whatever is left for some help off the bench. They can use it. I mean, they theoretically can use it to acquire, you know, a bunch of guys making, you know, little bits of money. That's not going to happen, but there is value in the Celtics acquiring a guy who makes somewhere in that mid-level money, because that would give them another player in that $13, $14, $15 million range in case they needed to trade that player. You know, you trade for a player like that now, and he can either be helpful for this team, or he could be a guy in that middle, mid-teen range that can go into a salary matching situation for a bigger trade later on. And so it's not just Marcus Smart making that kind of money. There is the possibility of throwing a guy into this roster for the potential of making a future trade and not having to give up Marcus Smart. I mean, if you're talking about a trade for a big player and you have to give up one of your young stars and you're saying, okay, maybe there's a monster deal out there for a top-notch star and you have to give up Jaylen Brown. Well, giving up Jaylen Brown and whomever you acquire here in a salary matching situation is much more palatable than giving up Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. I'm just using this as an example, but it's something that you think about when you're making these deals and when you're putting a team together. Having another guy making that mid-teens money can really help in a salary matching situation. You just don't know when that opportunity is going to come up, and you don't want it to always have to be Marcus Smart gets that distinction. Because throwing Marcus Smart in with one of these other young players that you have is painful. You want to keep him. So the Celtics do have the ability to split it up. So again, just to recap, for them to use the whole thing, they're probably going to have to trade away some salary. And that's going to be, you know, whatever one of the end of the bench guys, there's somebody that they can trade away to clear that space. If you see that, it's probably that they're going to use the whole mid-level. If they get a guy in that mid-tier and they only get that guy this season, it doesn't mean that they've wasted half of the trade exception. They can still take it into the offseason and get a guy then. So keep that in mind. And like I said, that mid-level contract to use as a salary match, a useful player, a good bench player that you can use as part of a salary match, helps increase the possibility of keeping Marcus Smart should a major trade come available. All right. I keep talking about these players like if the Celtics want to trade for a player. Well, who is it? Everybody wants to. Well, who is it, John? What player are you talking about? Well, I'll start putting some names out there when I come back. Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked two players at each position plus two wild cards and two coaches to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our wildly popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with help of our local experts. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today, wherever you get your podcasts. So, I think I've told you everything that I need to tell you about a traded player exception. You get it. You should get it by now. All right? But to review, just to hammer it home, cannot be combined with anybody else, cannot be combined with a player, cannot be combined with another exception. It's $28.5 million, that's it. You can't trade for somebody who makes more than that, okay? And it expires at some point next offseason. Usually it's a year. This year it's probably not going to be a year. So here we are, all right? Who can we get? It's not going to be Bradley Beal, I'm sorry. Bradley Beal is not going to get traded. The Celtics, at 28.5, do not have enough to trade for Bradley Beal. He makes 28.7, and if the Celtics have 28.5, and you get that extra $100,000 wiggle room, that's 28.6. It's just out of the reach. So sorry, that's not going to happen. If you want Bradley Beal, you're going to have to match salaries, and they're not trading Bradley Beal right now. They're just not. So. And it's not going to be Giannis because they're not trading Giannis into a trade exception. They're going to want young players. They're going to want enough. Giannis makes 27 and a half. He fits, but no. It's not going to happen. We're starting at this list of names, starting at like Otto Porter at 28, basically 28 and a half million. I don't think Otto Porter is the type of guy that Boston wants to spend this whole thing on. So, but I'm just saying, like, Otto Porter is there. It's an he's on an expiring deal. You could bring him in, have a look. If you like him, then who knows? You can figure it out. I mean, you can go down Chicago's cap sheet here, Chicago's roster, and say, hey, anybody you're looking to give up, why not kick the tires? I mean, I don't want Zach LaVine, but you know, what are you looking for? You know, you're looking for some relief. You want to get down to they're not a luxury tax team, but you know, cutting salary for a team like this, maybe. What do you want? What are you looking for? Thad Young available? Satoransky available? Lowry Markkanen available? What do you got? All of these guys fit. Everybody on the Bulls fits. I don't know that that's going to be the place to go, but everybody on the Bulls fits, so why not take a look? Everybody on the Orlando Magic fits as well. And now Orlando is a team, maybe they're looking to create some cap space. So they've got Nick Vucevic. I don't think the Celtics are going to be looking to get him at that amount of money. They didn't want Miles Turner. So why are they going to pay Vuce $26 million? Aaron Gordon at $18 million? Well, you know, hey, there's a possibility. My top target actually might be Evan Fournier. So, I mean, at $17 million, this fits nicely. You know, they can still get another 11, almost 11 and a half million. You can get a decent player at that remaining number in the traded player exception. You know, Fournier is it's a player option, so he's opted in, so he's done after this year. But by trading for him, you get his bird rights. You can re-sign him. That's a big deal. The Celtics can re-sign him at whatever they find appropriate. But I think that would be a place. You know, a wing player. I'm looking at these wing players. That's where I'm gonna really focus most of my attention. So maybe Buddy Hield's gonna come up. At just about $25 million, I don't know that I want Buddy Hield. I don't know that his attitude is going to work. And he's under contract for five more seasons now. I mean, he's under this weird kind of contract, this weirdly structured contract. I don't know if the Celtics want to go 5 years out with Buddy Hield. I mean, they've seen him go nuts. And if this was like Doc Rivers always loved bringing in guys who torched him. So Buddy Hield would certainly be a candidate at that price. I don't know. I just don't know. And the fact that Sacramento stupidly, by the way, didn't match on Bogdan Bogdanovic, then that makes it less likely. I think they've chosen Buddy Hield. They've chosen to go with Hield. In that matchup, would have been smarter to just match Bogdanovic and trade Hield. Like, that would have been the smarter move to me. But Hield's name's going to come up. At that money, using basically the entire exception on him, I don't know. What about, you know, you can do something like Gary Harris. And now Gary Harris is one of those change of scenery guys. Like, a change of scenery for him, like, he was pretty good. And then he kind of hasn't been. And so you wonder if, well, maybe getting him into a change of scenery can get him back to a couple years ago where he was shooting almost 40% from three. Actually, he had a two-year stretch in 2017 and 18 where he shot 42% and 39.5%. And then, you know, injuries and opportunity and other, you know, other things kind of pushed him out of his comfort zone in Denver. And so you say, hey, well, this guy's still young. He's not even 27 yet. He's 26 years old. He's a shooter. Get him onto a team like this where he has an opportunity to start around some, you know, still be on a good team. And I think that could be pretty, you know, a pretty interesting type of guy to target. Denver could be, you know, you I don't know what Denver's looking for here, but at $19 million, again, we're operating at $28.5 million. At $19 million, you can go get him and maybe George Hill, who makes $9.5 million. Those would be two players that you could get, two players that could help. So that, I think, really, it's much more likely to me that the Celtics are going to do it that way. I just don't think that they're going to find one guy to spend it on. Not at that money. But you can still, like, go down the Orlando Magic roster and see who else is on there. Is anybody interested in Al-Farouq Aminu, who makes $9.5 million? Terrence Ross, who makes $13.5 million? I mean, that Terrence Ross would be a nice player for the Celtics off the bench. I think that would be a great player to get. I don't know that Orlando's looking to move him necessarily, but Orlando is a mess. So I don't know what the hell they're thinking. But I would call Orlando. Orlando's a team that I would definitely be working with to see if you can get somebody there. Then, you know, you call another, you look at situations. Houston, what's Houston doing? Well, you know, everybody, you hear Houston, you say, find a way to get James Harden? Well, sure. But what about PJ Tucker? Now, the Celtics just got Tristan Thompson. They're getting Tristan Thompson. So, but, I mean, PJ Tucker as a stretch four, standing in the corners and burying corner threes at $8 million, that's a nice guy. To, you know, if you're willing to give up some assets, PJ Tucker could be a guy that you target. And he's an expiring guy, and he's probably going to be looking for a little bit more money next year. So that's a little bit tough. But again, you're trading for him. You're trading for his bird rights. Bird rights allow you to go above the cap and re-sign your own player. So the Celtics are above the cap, so you can re-sign your own guys. There are multiple versions of bird rights, and I don't want to, you know, add more crazy salary cap stuff to the mix if you're not familiar with it. But essentially, if a player has played with his team for a few years and you're over the cap, you can sign them to whatever number you negotiate. But that is, it erases if a player signs with another team. But if he gets traded, those rights go to the new team. So Tucker is a guy that could qualify here, and if the Celtics like him, then maybe they like what Tucker brings, and the win now causes them to move on. Maybe they move on from Daniel Theis, and you go with Tristan Thompson and PJ Tucker as your kind of big small combination, and you kind of keep PJ Tucker around to mentor Grant Williams a little bit, because Grant Williams, you hope, becomes a PJ Tucker type. But that's another one of these options. Those are the names. I'm going to stick to that list of names right now. There are, I'm sure, others. You know, you can go down. Hoops Hype has a list of player salaries. You can just start at the $28.5 million and work your way down and kind of see, oh, what about this guy? What about that guy? You know, there are some interesting names here that you say, well, you know, maybe a player like this could be somebody that the Celtics target. I think it just makes a lot of sense for the Celtics to use this to get multiple players. And again, part of the getting multiple players is that that's two more, or at least two more guys that make decent money that A, make your team good, but B, give you more tradable contracts that you can aggregate later to make a bigger deal. This is an important thing. That is an important element to this. So you get a, you know, Gary Harris, George Hill, or PJ Tucker, some combination, you know, Evan Fournier and PJ Tucker, Evan Fournier and George Hill. And then at some point, mid-season, a big trade kind of materializes. Well, now you've got these guys that you can throw into a deal that are valuable that you can use to aggregate and maybe keep one or more of the players that you like on your team already and want to keep. Building a team is hard. It's complicated. I hope that that kind of helped. I hope that you understood that. You can follow me on Twitter, RedsArmy_John, and ask me a follow-up question. Did I misspeak somewhere along the way? I might have. Maybe you want some clarification, but I hope this podcast helps you understand the traded player exception, what you can and can't do, who they might target, when that thing all goes away, all of the different elements that a team is looking at when this is the tool that they're going to use. So Danny Ainge got something for Gordon Hayward. What that is specifically, we don't know yet, but it can be a couple of guys, can be one big guy. And if he gets two guys that he then flips to be a bigger part of a trade, then, and he keeps Marcus Smart, then that really, really helps out. That really helps. And really the beauty of this trade exception is that he can use it with multiple teams and he's not relegated to one team's roster like if he had just traded with the Indiana Pacers. So that's why I think this is probably a better way to go. If you don't like the trade haul from one team, then this is actually a better way to go. So, and actually, you know, never mind. But what I was going to say is you get more out of this because Charlotte's willing to pay him more. And Indy wasn't willing to pay him as much, which means the salary matching would have been lower. So you might not get the same quality of players. So there's a lot. I hope that was understandable, easy to digest. If you're a first-time listener and this is your primer on traded player exceptions, that's what I do here. I spend 40 minutes explaining a very convoluted, I think, collective bargaining type of tool. You're not going to get that on Sports Talk Radio. Those guys don't know what the hell a traded player exception is. They have no idea. They just want to scream that Danny Ainge sucks and he should be fired. But he actually turned around and got something valuable here. Regular listeners, if you're already subscribed, love you. A 5-star rating would be awesome. A good written review would be great. And it would be even better if you share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.